Media shouldn't be one note. Support Rabble.ca and a diversity of voices in Canadian media. Visit rabble.ca/donate to contribute.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's radio, free radio.
Hi, and welcome to Gooder Goods, a podcast about conscious consumption. I'm Kelly Okamura, and I'd like to share with you my long journey from front row fashionista to shopping in my closet as a trendsetter. We're all consumers who wear clothes. And as a professional in the purchasing system, my spending spree has taught me a lot about why clothes matter and why all of us need to think twice before we mindlessly make our next purchase. And hopefully before we wreck our planet for the sake of a bargain that we thought was too good of an opportunity to miss out on.
Cyber Monday, the day after the 2016 Grey Cup, and I'm still thinking red and black. My team lost, but I won the bidding grid, which is a fond carryover from my Albertan childhood memories. Life is full of paradoxes like that, including bargain shopping. Did you personally go deep into the red to scoop up bargains on Black Friday? After my unexpected car purchase, I'm still in the red, and shopping for unplanned bargains was not in the cards for me this season. And it wasn't apparent to me that Toronto shoppers had run up debt as I drove north on Bay Street through the Mink Mile, or saw many people with tons of shopping bags at the start of rush hour on public transit that day. And since I'm old enough to recall the late 20th century fur wars on Bloor Street, I had to appreciate my digitally native daughter's disdain for my offhanded comment about observing Black Friday shopping. People are shopping online. And that was confirmed late Monday by the UPS courier who was delivering to two neighbors on my street. Most of the packages are from online purchases, and deliveries spiked after Black Friday. When I listened to the Saturday news between Black Friday and Grey Cup Sunday, I saw the memes on the Canadians getting applause from Best Buy staff sauntering through the store doors from the still dark morning of Black Friday. Their calm demeanor was mocked online as a foil to Americans battling it out for a bargain. Likely their polite smiles for the amateur paparazzi camera was due to them getting a parking spot close to the door to shop. And by Monday, I finally got the chance to link to a Gegen de Strom Facebook posting sent by a Brazilian friend living in Canada. We're seeing, and I posted the link on the Twitter at Gooder Goods. So the internet filled in my unacademic observations on hype shopping in Canada. And not only did I click on how to say Gegen de Strom, I found out the translation means against the current. So multicultural of me to learn German from the net. And the internet told me that the Mink Mile is still Canada's priciest retail space, but didn't even make the top 20 most expensive areas to open a store in the world. Caveat, the data was from 2015. My search also took me to listen to a Financial Post interview by Holly Shaw. She spoke with Mohit Grover, Google Canada's head of industry retail. The interview uploaded before 2 p.m. on Black Friday, so not sure he'd still take the position that Black Friday in Canada is now more important than Boxing Day for shopping. Saturday news was sales were disappointing, and based on Google Canada's trends, the data showed a year-over-year spike in online searches prior to Black Friday, but not necessarily sell-through, as consumers did not see the bargains online that they had hoped for. My partner Mike's comments is that Black Friday is for electronics. Clearly disputable with his sharing of the Best Buy video on my Facebook page. And certainly, all kinds of retailers participated on this American tradition of consumption after family turkey dinner. I saw lots of fashion retailers trying to cash in on Black Friday, and cosmetics, books, bedding, and my car dealer. We shopped that evening at Costco, scouting for duck confit in quantity for an upcoming supper party. Here we saw many people with loaded shopping carts, but no apparent deals on food, or even Friday-only discounts. So why rush? And across the highway, the valet parking lots of fashion shopping mecca Yorkdale seemed no busier than normal on a drive-by. Even on a normal Friday, for love or bargains, there's no way I could get my partner closer to the mall than the ring road around the mall. Inside, it may have been busier than a typical Friday, but some consumers were not shoppers. They were looking for bargains based on marketing hype and wishful desire for magnanimous holiday giving. Assumptions that our weakened Canadian dollar in a smaller consumer market would equate to the U.S. ads that spilled across the border about deep discounts didn't add up to cashing out at the checkout line. I've been known to be a voracious consumer for most of my life, so it was a surprise to find out that even the secondary shopping markets were having a sale on Black Friday. Days before I was to take a group of students shopping at a charity thrift shop, I let the Salvation Army know of the field trip. I completely forgot about this American holiday when I agreed on a date for the school workshop months ago. The Sally Ann's response to ask for a date change due to a 50% off sale was not an option. I didn't know if on our shop anyone even bought anything that qualified for the sale. Here the shopping is less focused on price, and for me, it was a salvation for my shopping soul to inform young consumers on Black Friday they have purchasing choices outside the mall. My three R's could be reduce, reuse, and recreate. I've done this workshop in the Catholic School Board in the past, and despite requests to make it a one-day session to fit into busy school calendars, I've stuck to a two-part format, partially because the field trip to a thrift store is an experience that some young people have never considered or considered shameful, or an eye-opener. Plus, the shirts need a wash for a clean start to learn equity through textiles. The equity workshop began with a tour at the Center for Social Innovation and pointed out the bathrooms were gender neutral. Over lunch that included one halal pizza option, I talked to the equity students about fast fashion and how this makes apparel the second biggest planetary polluter. Then we went shopping for t-shirts to use as our canvases to create individual school spirit wear that share a common graphic. As part of my talk with the students, I asked them if they slept in the same bedding for their whole life. And if not, and they've slept in a hotel bed or at a friend's house, the fabric sheets could be washed, and they weren't bothered by the fact it wasn't never used textiles touching their skin and keeping them awake at night. And the more you know about the dirty side of fashion, even new t-shirts that were never worn should be washed before wearing. A reminder that textile products can be diverted from landfill if they are collected, dry, preferably not smelly, and ideally clean, even if it's a one-sided sock or torn tea towel. So if you donate gently used in-season clothes and your closet clean-out is stalled by angsting over what's good enough, throw all the textiles into a bag, choose a charity, and give your high and low value discards and gain some space. The Salvation Army is Toronto's 2016 recipient of donated city textiles. Currently, the city's strategy for textile pickup is only on environmental days, but drop-off bins or charity shops are always an option across the country, regardless of your municipality's policies. As noted in a previous podcast, the Salvation Army considers apparel and textiles to be the same for collection in their bins. They've said nearly all the textile products they collect are diverted from landfill. I'm glad to hear that claim, but the controversial charitable allowance is free dumping. Commercial textile collectors, whose bins commonly list a charity's name, are more committed to finding a buyer and keeping textiles out of landfill to nearly 99% because they pay to dump. That's how the global secondary market finds your one-sided shoe halfway around the world from a business that specializes in buying low-cost bales of shoes. And that's how you stay in the black. where business profit exceeds expenses, even if the profit means shipping our excess across an ocean. Leaving the Center for Social Innovation to get to the charity shop by public transit, I was glad to hear the students had taken in new consumer information and energized by my presentation, and likely the pizza. I appreciated the opportunity to speak to these young consumers and share how the clothing system is useful in learning equity since we're all clothed. If naked is not an option and apparel purchases can be choices one makes throughout our life. Bracing myself to battle hordes of sale shoppers, the anticipated crowds at the Sally Ann were not apparent. I'm glad I did not succumb to the hype and cancel the field trip. We spent money, but it may have been less than the pizza and transit. Be gooder.
Follow me on Twitter at Gooder Goods. The links I referenced can be found on Facebook. Search Gooder Goods. And the podcast is uploaded on soundcloud.com/goodergoods. Choose to be gooder.